The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come to you and say, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He also said to the ones who invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of life. So how does our world define what success is? How does our world define success? Money,
power,
notoriety, possessions, is that what you said?
Friends,
lots of people, friends. What kind of values do you need to be successful in the world's eyes? None? Okay. Sorry. Okay, none. That probably helps a little bit. I don't know sometimes. What else? What do you value to be successful in the world's eyes?
Me first.
Me first. What was that? Being honest. It would be good, but it's not always the case, right? Right. So what does God value?
Honest.
Being honest?
Love.
I heard that from a couple people.
Compassion.
Sympathy. Empathy.
Fairness.
Fairness. Humility.
Justice
and mercy.
Caring.
Generosity. I didn't hear what you said.
Charity.
Giving. Exactly. Hospitality. All these values are sprinkled throughout our scripture lessons for this morning. If you need a refresher, you can go back and reread them. Mercy and compassion and generosity and love and hospitality and faithfulness and humility. So how do we deal with the tensions of the world's values and definitions of what success is and the values of the reign of God? How do we deal with that tension?
Poorly.
Poorly, yes, not very well. That was when I thought about that question, I thought, yeah, not very well. I confess that. It's hard, isn't it? I mean, we are inundated with that constantly. I mean, who doesn't want to have an independent, carefree, comfortable, Hakuna Matata kind of life? Really? But Jesus has a way of constantly disrupting that problem-free philosophy and commanding us to do things that are hard, like love our neighbors as ourselves, like be humble. I think author E.B. White hit the mark on the head when Charlotte the Spider proclaims that being humble means not proud and near to the ground. Because it's interesting, that word humble, the words human, humility, humiliated, humus, humane, inhumane, homage, even homicide, all come from the same root word, which is hum and means of the earth. We're told in the creation story in the book of Genesis that God took the stuff of the earth. God took dirt, mud, clay, sand, the stuff of the earth, formed it, and by breathing the breath of life into it, God created humanity. By breathing that breath of life into the humus, God created humankind. So as human beings, you could say that we are both of the earth and of God. And as I've thought about it, I thought, you know, being humble is remembering this. Remembering that we are near to the ground. That we are of the earth. It's remembering that who we are and all of what we have, our very life itself, comes from God. And remembering that one day we will take our last breath and our bodies will return to this earth. And that how we live now impacts not only life now, but the life of that continues on after we are gone. Being humble is being grounded in the truth that we are all, that all of humanity, even though we are all quite different from one another, that we are all formed from the same stuff of the earth, that we all have been given that precious, life-giving breath of God. We all matter to God. And we all matter to each other. Our relationship with God is very much grounded in how we live together. How we care for and tend to the earth on which we live. How we treat our neighbors. And knowing that we can't be in relationship with God without being in relationship with one another. Especially those who are most vulnerable, because they matter too, especially to God. We have a God who lifts up the lowly. So how are we going to live our lives as we walk this earth together? How are we going to live together? This is an important question for us as people of faith. It might even be the most important question. How are we going to live together? In answering this question, the author of Hebrews says, "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers." Jesus says, "When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed." Our national church body has taken some bold steps recently in seeking to answer this question of how do we live together here on this earth. Last month, our churchwide assembly voted to declare the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, of which St. Mark is a part, to be a sanctuary denomination. Now, this action was part of a larger resolution that affirmed the longstanding commitment of the Lutheran Church in welcoming and caring for immigrants and refugees. This is something that the Lutheran Church has been doing for 75 years through Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. I think it's important for us to talk about what this means. What it means for our church to be a sanctuary denomination. What this means for us here at St. Mark. What does this mean, you know, for our synod and for the ELCA? And if you, I'm hoping to answer some questions this morning, but if you want more information, I encourage you to do what I did and go to the ELCA website, simply www.elca.org, and you can find a lot of information. But simply put, becoming a sanctuary denomination means that the ELCA is publicly declaring that walking alongside immigrants and refugees is a matter of faith. It's an answer to the question of how do we live together on this earth. When we preach on Sunday mornings, kind of like I am right now, that Jesus tells us to welcome people, especially the most vulnerable, that we will use our hands and our voices, not only on Sunday mornings, but on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays, to live this out, to live out this welcome, to not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Now, I know that there are lots of different views on this, and we hold them within this congregation, I know. But regardless of where we stand on immigration, refugees, and asylum seekers, it's clear that we have a broken system. While we might have different ideas about how to fix this broken system, we may have different ideas about what it means to love our neighbors. To declare that the ELCA is a sanctuary denomination is to say that our church seeks to provide very real and concrete ways and resources to assist the most vulnerable who are feeling those sharp edges of this broken system. And I think as important as it is to be clear about what being a sanctuary denomination means, I think it's important to be clear about what it doesn't mean. Being a sanctuary denomination does not call for any person, any congregation, any synod, any church body to engage in any illegal actions. That's not what this is about. If you think about the Lutheran Church in the United States, historically, we've always had a soft spot for immigrants because our church is largely an immigrant church. I mean, how did the Lutheran Church get here? But through the immigrants. I mean, my own grandparents were immigrants as children to the United States. Lutherans in their homeland coming here and sharing their faith. The church's longtime work with immigrants and refugees is an important way that our church body practices how do we live together on this earth? How do we share our faith? How do we, even more importantly, how do we live out that faith in our daily lives? What being a sanctuary denomination looks like is going to be very different in different contexts. The ELCA is not going to mandate or direct us to do anything specific. Here at St. Mark, we're going to have to talk about what does that mean for us. And there are many different possibilities that are already being done, including what we're already doing and being prayerful about the whole situation. There's a saying that goes like this. Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. The most powerful and the strongest message about God's love that we can ever share is how we choose to live our lives. Not only the things that we say, but especially through the things that we do. How are we going to live our lives together as people of faith? We are the body of Christ in the world today, and we are called to live as Christ did. We are called to humbly welcome and love one another, to be a safe place, to be a sanctuary for all of God's children, especially the most vulnerable. How do we live that out? How do we live that out here and now? That is the most important question, because the answer to that is who we are, the body of Christ in our world today. Amen.